Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
beat.
NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mike Florio joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
You know, I've morning, always Mike. Wondered, is it Al space Pamonte or is it just Al Pamonte? I've always wondered that and I've never asked.
First name Two Al, words. Last name right. Deonta. Yeah.
Because it Pamonte. Sounds like, I mean, if you say it, you get used to saying it and you hear Al Pamonte, I'm just thinking that's the last name. So it's Al Pamonte.
Yep. Yeah.
Got it.
Yes. Thank you. I'll try to clean it up.
And no, you can't have that 20 seconds of your life back.
You know, Michael, I'm just wondering, you have been dealing with this internal commute for a number of years now. I'm starting to develop like a left knee issue as I walk down the stairs two flights to get to my utility room. How do you pull it off? How do you make it happen?
Well, the biggest challenge is avoiding the refrigerator. That takes because... I used to go to a law office and I didn't keep any food there. And, but now all the food is five steps away. So that took a while to get to the point where I wasn't constantly going to the kitchen to get something else to eat. But, I feel guilty because my life hasn't changed and I understand how people are struggling and people are suffering and people who can work at home. That's great. And I don't know what's worse. Not having a job and being at home, or having a job and having to go out and work at a grocery store, drive vehicles, be involved in the heroic healthcare community. I mean, it's just a time of extreme hardship, and I keep telling myself we're part of the distraction, we're part of the diversion, we're part of the normalcy, and I hope we can keep doing that indefinitely.
And Mike, I found it fascinating, your idea to have NFL players sort of work at home, your idea to kind of create a football biosphere, if you will. And I know that you wrote about this, you've talked about it in interviews. How would you explain your plan and how realistic it might be?
It's not realistic at all. And I'm the first one to admit that. But it's an example of what the league needs to be doing now. They need to be thinking about every possible scenario. They need to look at every date on the calendar between now and Labor Day weekend and ask themselves, if we can't get back to work until this day, June 1, June 15, June 20, July 10, whatever it may be, what is our plan for getting in a full season? And if they are determined to get the TV money, you at least put on the radar screen the possibility of taking everyone to a remote location that they can ensure is not going to be touched by the coronavirus. I don't believe that's practical. I don't believe that's possible. I think the better chance is just playing in empty stadiums, testing the players on a regular basis. I think the testing methods and the speed of the turnaround will be much improved by the time we get to September. There's talk of having quick and easy pinprick, finger prick testing for the antibody to see if you've already had it so you don't have to worry about it. I mean, those things are in the pipeline, and that will make it easier to pull off football season with teams being in their usual locations. But my position continues to be the NFL needs to have people who are thinking about this all the time and identifying a biosphere option and just at least working through the practicalities, the impracticalities, at least to go through the exercise so they're ready for every possible outcome. What I've heard from a couple of different people, everyone at the league office now is focused on pulling off the draft, and they'll worry about the offseason programs after that, they'll worry about the season after that. I'd like to think they've got the capacity to do both. And throwing out that idea mainly was an effort to kind of pull the ripcord on the lawnmower to get the NFL to start thinking about these things.
And the league is, they have already gone out and invited, what, the top 50 players to figure out a way to be on a video call with them during the draft. So they're planning on being able to cut to all these players sitting around waiting to be drafted. We hear this guy's on the phone. They're going to do all that. They're just going to do it remotely.
Yeah, it's just like any cable news channel you may be watching now, or if you watch ESPN or any of the sports channels, it's a bunch of people wearing AirPods who are broadcasting from, at times, very curious choices of background in their homes. Sometimes I wonder, if that's the best you got, maybe you should consider a different line of work, right? but yeah, I think that's what it's going to be. And I think logistically it's going to be a challenge, but it's going to be a bunch of people in their homes. And it very well could be, as Peter King pointed out yesterday in Football Morning in America, the commissioner from his home. Everybody is broadcasting from their homes. Lester Holt is broadcasting the NBC Nightly News from his home. You couldn't tell by the background that they have, but a lot of that stuff is going on. A lot of green screens out there that are allowing people to create the impression they're not at home when they are at home. And I think that's exactly what it's going to be. I think there's not going to be a desk with talking heads. If there are, there's going to be two of them. They're going to be at each end of it, like a giant table in a mansion where it's like, can you pass the salt? And you have to walk 50 feet to get it down to the other end. I mean, I don't know if I mentioned this to you guys last week. There was an interview of John Elway by the Broncos website, and it looked like he and the person interviewing him were getting ready to play tennis. That's how far apart they were for the interview. But that's what it would have to be. Or it's just right. Going to be people at home or alone in a studio. And it's going to be the highest rated draft ever because it's all we have in this vast wasteland of March and April with no sports.
So when you look at how the preparation has changed because of the circumstances, Mike, and how much it puts a premium on tape evaluation over this interpersonal communication and the in-person interviews, who does it benefit most? I mean, the teams that obviously have the proven track record of having good evaluators of talent, but does a team or two come to mind when I ask that question?
Well, I mean, you think of the Ravens. You think of the Patriots. The teams that traditionally draft well are going to draft well under any set of circumstances. You take away pro day workouts, you take away private visits, they're going to find another way to get the information. You know, one of the things that's been overlooked in all of this, every team can contact every prospect up to 3 times per week, per prospect, for up to an hour per conversation. So there is an opportunity there to really spend an unlimited amount of time. Well, 1 hour per time, three hours per week. But when you consider all the prospects, there aren't enough hours in the week to talk to all these guys. So there's a way to skin the cat without being able to sit across from the guy at a table and really look into his eyes and get a feel for who you're really dealing with. And, you know, Chris Sims and I were spitballing about this yesterday. If there's a guy that's got reliability concerns, punctuality concerns, you just tell him, we're going to call you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11 a.m. And let's see if he answers the phone. And let's see how groggy he is when he answers the phone. Let's see how he communicates in that setting. You know, the teams are going to adapt. The players need to adapt. The guys that I feel the worst for are the guys with medical issues because there's no way to properly clear them the way that you would with that combine recheck. The guys with red flags would always go back to Indianapolis in mid-April to get checked out again. That's gone now. So you're going to have real risk with Tua Tagovailoa or anyone else that's recovering from surgery as to whether or not that guy truly is ready to go.
You know, what's interesting, Michael, is I do believe that there has been a certain amount of kind of paralysis through analysis with the draft where we just – you know, we need the 15th interview to find out if, ask some stupid question about parentage or something. We've seen that happen. So I think it might help if you're just studying the tape. And I get it. It's hard to project the smaller school guys. But sometimes the story is right there in front of you, and you get caught up in things that are almost irrelevant. And, you know, I know no one wants to draft a criminal, but other than that, I think it's fairly obvious who some of these guys are from the way they play.
Well, I think when all these devices are available to teams, teams feel compelled to use them all because they assume that their competitors are all using them all. So you end up spending the time and the money going from campus to campus for pro day workouts, going for private workouts, bringing guys in, when at the end of the day, you know, I feel like so much of what happens prior to the draft is building a file so that when you draft a guy and he's a bust and the boss wants to know why in the hell we drafted this guy, you can go back to that file and you can point to all the positive reasons why you thought the guy was going to be good. And for the guys that you pass on, the Lamar Jacksons of the world who become superstars, you want to have that file you can go back to when the boss wants to know why in the hell didn't we take Lamar Jackson? Why did we take him instead of Josh Rosen? Then you can go back to it and you can say, here's why we didn't. And it's so much CYA, but I think that's what a lot of that stuff that gets done from February to April becomes. It becomes a massive 32 business exercise in CYA.
Mike, you mentioned Tua, and I agree that this could possibly hurt him, but he's also been fully cleared and ready to compete without restrictions, according to his agent. That may concern some teams. Maybe there's another, you know, more to this later this in April. Does he drop out of the top five because the agent is, you know, Lee Steinberg's pretty good and he's pretty convincing, and you wonder if this is something that can he talk Tua into the top five?
You know, in 2011, that was the year where there was no offseason program, but free agency came after the draft, so the draft had even greater importance, and teams that needed quarterbacks were reaching. You had Jake Locker at number 8, Blaine Gabbert at number 10, Christian Ponder at number 12. All three of them, all due respect, stunk, but teams were desperate for quarterbacks. And will there be a team in the top 10 that doesn't feel great about its current starter, that wants a guy that maybe they can sit on the bench for a year, and they see the possibility of getting that franchise guy? See, the argument I made last year with the Cardinals and Kyler Murray was the Cardinals had to take Kyler Murray because it's better to swing and miss on a potential franchise quarterback than to pass on a potential franchise quarterback, because the financial investment isn't what it was before 2011, where you were putting yourself in a huge hole if you swung and missed on a potential franchise quarterback. So, you know, Tua Tagovailoa has that potential. The concern, though, is 3 lower body injuries during college. If you have those at a lower level of the sport, chances are you're going to have those injuries, if not worse, at the higher level of the sport. And one thing that Chris Sims has been pointing out when we talk about Tua on PFT Live, when you watch his game film, there are a lot of moments in a given game where he takes a hit that makes you say, oh my God, is he going to get up? And you can't take hits like that at the NFL level, because you will more often than not be able to get up.
That's a great point. Michael, we'll let you go. There is a conference call today. The owners are going to be talking to each other. We know that they're going to approve pretty much everything that's on the table, the expanded playoffs, the networks. You already have reported on that. Is there anything that could go awry? Is this just a formal type thing or what?
I'd be stunned if they don't grab the money. They've wanted to expand the playoffs for years, but they knew there was talk 4 or 5 years ago that it was coming, but they knew they couldn't do it without the approval of the union. So they wanted to wait to do it as part of the next CBA. So my guess is they wouldn't have made this something they pushed for in the CBA unless they knew they were going to have at least 24 votes. So I think that's going to sail through. I think the real question is, how aggressively will the owners on this call challenge the league for answers about the potential doomsday scenarios if they really are focused on the draft and not worrying about anything else? Hopefully this call will be when enough owners say, hey, you can do 2 things at once, and if you can't, we'll find people who can. Come up with all of our plans, come up with all of the scenarios, come up with all of the ideas for ensuring that we have a football season depending on how this pandemic continues to unfold.
Michael, thanks a ton. Great talking to you as always.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.